Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. This is Doctrine of Truth with Bishop Poole, and we are here. We would like for you to express your views and opinion about the subject today. We're talking about unforgiveness and forgiveness, and we need your opinion because we are considering ourselves as the grassroots. You know, Bible says, get wisdom and all our getting, get understanding. So we'd like to have your testimony to come in and talk about forgiveness and how you was able to forgive someone and how you was able to get delivered from unforgiveness and all the things that you happened to you in the past. And if you'd like to be a caller in, dial 1-347-215-8816. 1-347-215-8816. And just press the number 1 on your phone and be our special guest. God bless you. As always, we like to recognize God, and we thank Him, Father, for creating this day and this, the listeners and those that are hearers to come by today. And we know it wasn't a by mistake, because you're not a God of luck. Mistakes, you do everything on purpose. And those that are listening today, oh God, this afternoon, wherever they are, whatever time they listen in, Lord, we ask you to grant a special blessing of understanding on them and give them the strength and courage, oh God, to reach out and go further in their life. We're going to look this afternoon in the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis is considered, amen, the beginning of all doctrines. It's the beginning of all doctrines and studies and teaching, because the Bible, the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, what we call and consider by the old patriarchs, is the schoolmaster of everything that's going on now. It began in the book of Genesis, and we'll be reading here at the 4th chapter. Two brothers here, and we're talking about unforgiveness, but also and forgiveness, and things can happen to you from your family, your friends, your cousins, amen, regardless of whatever might come up. You might not think so, but problems can arise unexpectedly. You might come into some financial blessings or opportunities, and you'll find yourself at odds with an unexpected enemy or friend or family. And notice here that these two brothers, Cain and Abel, in the book of Genesis, the 4th chapter. And Abel knew, and Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought in the fruits of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought of the first fruitling of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and his offering, but Cain and his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou hast done well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou hast done not well, sin lies at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And here we go. I'd like for you to call in, and we're discuss this problem. Sometimes people get upset because God blessing them, and they be angry at the other person. But here, God talked with Abel, and God blessed Abel, and Cain was so hateful and so distraught about what God had done. But he fought it Abel for it. He fought it Abel for it. Instead of him, you know, said, well, if I do well, God going to bless me because God said so. But everybody has a word about God say this, God say that. But God talked to Abel, and he talked to Cain, and he told Cain, Cain, you was wrong, and this is why I'm not blessing you. This is why I'm not blessing you. All right, we have a call, and I thank God for your call. And the listeners, if you want to call in, all you have to do is dial 1-347-215-8816 and click 1 on your phone. So what we have here a problem. Everybody want to be blessed. Everybody want prosperity. Everyone want God's favor, but they don't want to give God their best in offerings. They want to not give God their best in living for him. And so what they do and what you shouldn't do is the problem. You should not hold something against someone else because jealousy will sneak in. Jealousy will sneak in, and this is what happened here. And we know we have an enemy. And the Lord told Cain, if you'd have done well, now I would have blessed you. If you'd have done well, now that's a point there. You can hold on, you can write it down, say, well, maybe I'm not doing as well towards God, not towards Abel, but towards God as I should. And maybe there's some areas in your life you feel that you are doing well, but you know you're drawing back on certain things. You know, giving an offering to God, giving God your heart and giving God your best. And here, the Lord asked them for their best, their best. But why would Cain want to hold against Abel? What's the problem there? Why are you one of those Canaanites that's holding something against the Abels in this world? Are you going around and you just the Bible say what in the book of in the psalmist, you know, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Okay, we have a caller online. All right, caller, go right ahead. And we thank God for you. We have a caller online. Go right ahead. Caller. Yes. God bless you.
I am Minister Shakira. I was calling in.
Okay.
I was listening to you talk about Cain and Abel and how you begin to ask, you know, we the people that are jealous of the Abels in the world. And what I've noticed sometimes, and I wanted to ask you, have you noticed this also? A lot of times people become jealous of other people because of what I've seen. They become jealous of other people because they see something that they know they could have done or they could achieve in their lifetime, but they did not achieve it. And then they see this person achieving it and doing great things and doing great exploits and just really sowing, and then they become jealous instead of celebrating that person and realizing, you know what, I still have the opportunity, you know, to do this because God is a merciful God. So have you noticed that in people?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, thank you. Thank you. We're going to hold that point. We're going to go to another caller here, and thank you for calling. And we're going to go to another call. Maybe you stay on the line, okay? Stay on the line.
Okay.
Hello? Hello? You're on the line. Hello? 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 You're on the line. Hello? Yes.
Pastor Brown.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead. Go right ahead.
How you doing? I just came in. I was a little late. I apologize.
No problem. No problem.
And,
we talked about Cain and Abel.
Uh-huh.
And how the God has blessing people, and the Minister Sakila was brought up the point. Have we seen, you know, people that being jealous of others when God began to bless them, and how God had elevated certain people, and now they're really holding it against, you know, the Abels in the world.
Amen, amen.
Have you seen
amen.
That?
Amen.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Amen. I can relate to that, and I thank God that, you know, God said that he will order the footsteps of his people, and he will be with them. And mm-hmm. and when we're in the spirit, we wouldn't have time to operate in the spirit of unforgiveness and jealousy. Amen.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Because we all have this. We're supposed to have the spirit of love, which is the gift of the spirit. And that fruit of the spirit, I meant to say, well, is love. And when you have love and you're operating in the spirit, you don't. The flesh and the spirit cannot operate together. So therefore, that flesh is subdued. And the spirit man is free to love, to encourage, and to build up. So that's what we do. Like in Proverbs, we build up one another.
Right, right.
Amen.
So, yeah, have you noticed that? We can use this use the term, you know, Abel's against the Cain's and Cain's against the Abel. Basically, it's the Cain's are upset with the Abel's
yes.
in the church. And God is blessing them, but like the Lord told Cain, if you did well, I would have blessed you too. If you did well,
okay.
And you know we can't go around, and that's what the enemy wants us to do: to hold something against someone else, All right, Brother Brown, we thank you. So much for calling in. And those that we'll go back to, I don't know if she's still on the line or not. Sister Keela, I don't know if she's still on the line or not.
Hello?
Oh, hello. Okay, you're still on. Did you have anything else further to say on what we have discussed here so far? Brother Brown had added some things there. Did you hear him? That's a while ago.
Yes. And I just wanted to add that, you know, we know that God is a merciful God. And I like how you were saying the Cains against the Abels, because sometimes we focus on the Cains and what the Cains have done against the Abels, not realizing that an Abel could become a Cain because of something else that somebody is doing to them if they don't begin to really seek the face of God and really understand what's going on with that other person, that it might be jealousy. It might be unforgiveness in their heart. It might be hatred towards them. Maybe, you know, you said something or done something that have sent them into, you know, a whirlwind. And I think sometimes we have to be very careful about that, too, because sometimes what others do to us, you know, we have to make sure that we don't retaliate. The Bible says we have to forgive 70 times 7, you know, and just keep forgiving. So, you know, I just wanted to make that note also. And, you know, just tell you, Bishop, you're doing an excellent job, and I thank you for this topic about forgiveness and unforgiveness, because I think in a Christian world, we really, really need to study this.
Okay. God bless you. Thanks for calling. All right.
Thank you.
God bless you. I'll see if Minister Brown's still there. Mr. Brown, I don't know. Are you still there, Mr. Brown?
Yes, sir.
All right. You have anything else further to add? What was said about the Cain and Abels in the church. Cain and Abels in the church.
Yes, that's going on a lot because God is pulling out favor upon his people, the ones that are obedient and the ones that are not covetedness, coveted, being a coveter, and
right.
that are humble. And people that are not humble are lacking in the church, and the ones that are humble, God is elevating. So we as the body have to pray for one another, brethren, families of the weak, and the ones that wants to be wolves, we have to let the shepherd put the staff out there and keep them back.
That's true. The shepherd has a real hard job. You know, every shepherd today, the leaders have to be totally delivered from respected persons in order to, you know, keep his heart clean, to have a position to make, you know, to make clear and fruitful lectures or sermons whereby he can help the Cains and Abels. Because if he's not delivered, or she's not delivered, we have a problem.
This thing's going to be awful.
Yes. All right. God bless you. Brother Brown, God bless you. Thank you for calling.
God bless you. Thank you, Bishop.
As we continue to on our discussion today, if you have anyone else like to call in, and Jesus said in the book of Matthews, in the book of Mark, 11th chapter, and we find it at the 22nd verse, 11th chapter and 22nd verse, and Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God, for I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Now we're talking about prophecy. Prophecy. If you abide in him and he abide in you, according to Matthew, St. John, the 17th chapter, and the first verse through the 17 verses. And Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you can ask what you will and you shall have it. And here Jesus is quoting again, he's saying it again in the book of Mark. Here we're reading, and he said, if you believe that those things whatsoever you says, he says, shall come to pass. Whatever you say shall come, if you believe it, shall come to pass. And he shall have whatsoever he says. Now watch this further now. That therefore I say unto you, though, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. Now there's two things here. You can say, you can speak it out. God, I want this. Or God, I need this. God, I want you to bless. It'll come to pass if you believe it. And the next one, he said, if you pray, the first one, you notice in the 23rd verse of Mark, the 11th chapter, he said, if whatever you say, if you can speak it and you believe it and don't doubt in your heart, you can have it. The next 24th verse, therefore I say unto you that what things soever ye desire. Now you desire, your desires of people's heart, that is righteousness. We're talking about righteousness. When you pray, believe that you shall receive them, you shall have them. You shall have them. Now here's the catch 22. Here's the problem here. Those that were speaking and praying and believing God and asking God, and they done got upset with Cain, and either Cain done got upset with Abel, and back and forth, and Cain is watching Abel prospering, and here's Cain sitting here. Cain is sitting here and looking and watching Abel's, all the Abel's. He's watching all the Abel's, and a God is pouring out his, you know, from heaven. It's raining down on them. Open up the windows of heaven. Oh, God, pour out a blessing. Oh, just pouring it all over. And here's Cain sitting here watching. He's been speaking out his word. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and shouting it. Almost like, you know, Jezebel prophets. Elijah and Jezebel prophets. But here's the problem. This is what done happened to Cain. And when you stand praying, forgive. Uh-oh. When you stand praying, forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses. Uh-oh. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive you of your trespasses. Now, that's the problem. There is a bridge up on the, there's a bridge out on the road. And you got your GPS lined up, and you got your right coordinates, and you got everything working, and you know you'll be there. In 5 minutes, you'll be there in your destination. You're on the right road. You're watching the arrows, and everything is, the traffic's not too heavy. Everybody on the right side of the road, and all of a sudden, you begin to see blinking lights ahead. Slow down. And you, when you slow down and you get there and you find out emergency equipment there, and they begin to tell you you got to turn around and go back another 10 miles at the detour. Go back. That's where you can get off. They have time to put up the proper signs for detour. So we have an engineer there or someone there telling you have to go back. And they start putting up all the marquees saying you got to go back. This was happening. This was happening to Cain, all the Canaanites. Those that been praying and speaking God's word, but in their heart, they have not forgiven Abel. They have not forgiven anyone because they thought, and they had properly followed all of the dots, the I's, and the cliches, and everything you can think of, but they will not forgive someone of their trespasses. And they will not forgive someone of what they said against them. They hold it in their heart when they see that person coming down the street, or they hear them on the telephone or the radio, some kind of achievement they're doing. And they say, well, you know, I'm doing all this. I've been fasting and praying for 40 days. I'm going to go a 40-day fast. I'm going to go for a 20-day fast. I'm going to give all the money. I'm going to give my whole check. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. But yet and still, they cannot continue on the road because of what? There's a blockage. The bridge is out between you and your blessing. The bridge is out. It's out because of what? You have not followed the prayer. Even this is why the model prayer Jesus prayed in Matthew the 6th chapter. This is why the model prayer is such a dynamic prayer. You know what Jesus did? He doesn't make a mistake. This is the prayer we have to observe and be careful about. And notice in Matthew's 6th chapter, in the 9th verse, he say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. God is in heaven. He better than the satellite and GPS's. If the GPS can know and the satellite know where you're going, God is greater than the satellite and GPS. He know where all the satellites are. He know where all the roads are. He know where all the emergency stops are. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You know, you're praying that now. You're asking God to come down here, and you're asking God to be with you here. God, give me your observation. God, give me your insight and your strength. As you have it in heaven, give it to me here. Because what? You're a child of God. You have power. You have a relationship. You have a connection with the Most High God. Because you just didn't give your life to Christ because of the fact it was something done, was popular, and the crowd came forth. You was part of the crowd that day. You made that vow. No. You took your hand, your life, and you gave it to God through one of his ministers, pastor, and you accepted God's lifestyle. You accepted his rules and regulation. So he gave you, he turned around and gave you, said, listen, here's a key, here's a credit card, here's a MasterCard. Here is all the treasures you need down here in my name. This is for you now. This is for you. Use that, and I'll get you out of anything. That's your get out of trouble card. This is your going through card. You are my child. So you have a right to praise, Father, you know, give us this day our daily bread. Now, you're not talking about that. Jesus praying to heaven. Jesus praying to heaven the same thing that God told Abel. Abel, why are you upset? And this is the same prayer. That's why Jesus made it so important that he told his disciples, you can pray like this. In 11th verse, in the 6th chapter of Matthew, say, give us this day our daily bread. You talk to God first about what you need. Because what? You are his child. And forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, that's in the model prayer. That is in the model prayer. You have to observe that when you're praying and when you're talking to God. And that's what Jesus was saying in Matthew. He said, when you pray, forgive. And here you said, forgive us of our debts. Whatever you have gone through, whatever people have gone through with you, and as we forgive our debtors, oh, Lord, you got to forgive them. You have to forgive. You must forgive. This is ultimatum. You just can't sit by and say, I'm not going to forgive. Mark 11:25 said, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. So it's helping you. It's helping you. Oh, I don't know, Bishop. You don't understand. You don't understand what Abel is doing. Hey, I heard Abel did this. I heard. Now, listen now. You heard people talking about you. You heard this, and you saw that. Bible said, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Don't worry about 37 songs. Don't worry about that. Don't let the enemy influence you. And that's what the next verse of the prayer, 13th verse of the 6th chapter of Matthew, says. Lead us not into temptation. Abel, Cain got led into temptation. The enemy enticed him and brought jealousy on him. And he was led to what? To kill his brother. Isn't that something? To kill his brother. But deliver us from evil. We have to constantly say, Lord, deliver me from evil this day. Lord, deliver me. Don't let that get in my heart. Father, forgive me. I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. And if you have to write a letter, you have to call, find some ways and means to get that person out of your way of your blessing. That's what, if you want to simplify it, that person is standing between you and your next car, standing between you and your next house, standing between you and your next job. That person is standing between you and your health. He's standing or she is standing between you and your next goal in life. They are standing there in your way, and you carrying it around. You carrying them around. Because what? You cannot get past. You cannot get past it. And you always going over and over and over in your mind like a recorded record. Recorded record. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you of your trespasses. We are human. We are human. Let's look on the other side of the coin, the Cains and Abels of life. We have them here. And, you know, sometimes we forget that we're here in an imperfect world. We are here in an imperfect world, very imperfect. There's problems here, problems in the economy. We have problems in the environment. We have problems with our family, the health. It's a problematic world. We're full of mistakes, situation, and God sent Jesus. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. He is smarter than we are. You ever thought about God is smarter than we are? He created us. He created us. And you know how smart we think we are, you know, but yet and still, we make mistakes. We make mistakes. Sometimes we create mistakes. We create a situation. We're human. And those of us that's in Christ, And we know that the world, once you become in Christ, you'll be aware what Peter said in 1 Peter 5:7, that Jesus told Peter, and Peter was also expressing that the enemy is like a roaring lion. He's going about seeking whom he can devour. And Paul expressed also in the book of Ephesians about we don't fight against flesh and blood. So the things that was created for us here in this world and the situations that and the things that are happening now, and God expressed that in the last days, you know, there'd be wars and rumors of wars in the book of Matthews, and that this is the time of sorrow, many people are sorrowful. But you know what? There's nothing we can do about it. You cannot count the hairs on your head. You cannot grow any higher. Jesus took care of sparrows. He'll take care of you. You know, if we utilize the promises of God, what he promised us, he'll take care of us. But we have to forgive. Now, all of us have, those that are accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, and because we have an enemy in the spirit, because he bombarded us with those spiritual attacks. And Paul was expressing that we should put on the whole armor of God, you know, because we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and rulers of this world. So when we become a child of God, just like we're getting ready to now, we were in the rain, you know, a hurricane or a storm, a rain come up, a snow, wherever you are now, the weather began to be boisterous and the weather is beating and you know, the world is like a sea tossed to and fro. And God reaches out and we grab his hand and he give us, say, okay, you my child now. Okay, I want you to put on this raincoat and put on your goulashes and your hat and wherever you are, or either you put on a life jacket, you know, he's going to give you the lifeline. He's going to give you direction how to go through this world. And when you begin to walk in this world, and I want you to keep your sword in your hand, you know, it's the word of God. And if you speak anything, speak positive. Yes, because what, I'm going to be with you. It was a time you didn't have anyone you can vent to or talk to. Prayer, that's why Paul said man should always pray. Because when in prayer, you can express your inner heart. You can express your feelings. You can express the ideals and your oppression and things that are happening. You can go to God in your private closet. You can go to God in prayer. And you can just talk to God. And Jude said we can build up our most holy faith praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in God. So here we know we have an enemy. And he's always suggesting things to our mind, because the mind is the battlefield of spiritual warfare. Those little suggesting, you can be somewhere, nobody there, and you know, you got your earphones on, and all of a sudden, suggestion come across your mind, you say, oh my God, why I'm thinking about this? Why I'm thinking about that? Maybe that happened 20 years ago. All of a sudden, you can smell something, or you see something, or you hear something, all those, you know, your senses, and your mind flash. It flash back and bring up something. And you say, oh my God, why am I thinking like this? Why am I thinking? Because the enemy, he throws things at your mind. They call them fierce dots. Paul describes them as fierce dots of the wicked. He throws suggestion to the mind and the subconscious. He throws out little things where he used to do many, many years ago. But now what's so positive about it, you know that is wrong because of what you're practicing. You're practicing godliness. You're practicing forgiving. You're practicing living a separate life style where you used to live. Maybe not all of it's passing, but some of it's passing. So now what you find, we're going to get rid of this bridge up here, and we're going to have what? We're going to have some ways of means. We got to cross the other side. We got to cross the other side. So what we're going to do now, we're going this way of blessing, and we know that what done happened to this bridge, because the enemy has brought up some suggestion in your mind, and you desire to say, well, I know God should have blessed me, and I know that I'm going to be blessed, and I'm going to let this person go. I'm not going to hold this person anymore in my mind, what they did against me and what I should have did or whatever. I'm going to thank God. God is a blesser. He's a righteous blesser. So what we got to do, we got to get rid of this bridge in our mind about unforgiveness. We got to forgive. We got to forgive. We got to forgive. So, we want someone to call. If someone wants to call, you can call 1-347-215-8816. 1-347-215-8816. Because this is an imperfect world, people will make mistakes. They will make mistakes. And the book of Proverbs says, a righteous man can fall seven times and he can get up. Fall seven times, he can get up. How he can get up? Because God going to help him up, and he's going to send somebody there to help him and guide him, because he have no animosity in his heart against anyone. And Jesus quoted one time, said, we should be like little children. You know, little children can forgive and forget quicker than we can. So now, because we are imperfect people. Let's focus on that a minute. Because we are imperfect people, and we live in an imperfect world, problems, all of us have sin. All of us have a spiritual record. Everybody got a spiritual record. If it wasn't so, Jesus would have never came. The priests would have been still here, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the Leviticus, all the Levites, and the priests. We'd have had the same order, bring sacrifices to the temple, you know, the bulls, the pigeons, the lambs, and the turtle doves. But because that did not hold up, in God's eyesight, that did not hold up because of the fact everyone gravitated right back to the old way. Still a lot of fighting, killing, back to the old way of abuse. Back to the old way, lying, back to the old way. The old man was still in control. And Jesus came and said, listen, you must be born again. You must be born again inside. But that can be a bridge. If you don't have unforgiveness, that's going to be a bridge. Because what? God will not come in. God come into your heart. You got to ask God to forgive. That's part of repentance. Lord, forgive me of my sin. And forgiving your brother, unforgiveness, and all of that, if you really mean it, God will forgive you. God will forgive you of your sin. God will forgive you. Notice in Matthew 6 and 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. God will forgive you. Oh, yes, he will. Yes, he will. Regardless of what you have done, God will forgive you. And Mark 11:4 says, forgive us of our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. God won't leave you, let you go into evil. He will not guide you to do wrong. He will not let evil come upon you without you not knowing it. Oh, the Lord God led me down. No, God didn't lead you down that road. No, you was going down that road. and the Spirit of God begin to start flashing. The angels in heaven begin to work. Now we have God and angels. Let me talk about this for 1 minute. We have God and angels, and they're here to protect us from things we don't see, we don't hear. Now, they're not going to do your job. They're not going to do your job. We're here on earth, in an imperfect world, and Jesus went home to prepare a place for us, a perfect place, a perfect heaven. But here we have to stay and work with imperfect people in an imperfect world with a whole lot of faults, hurricanes, tornadoes, and earthquakes, and disease, neighbor problems, money problems. Can you see the picture? So why would we think that you're in control? The angel's not going to do the job. The angel's not going to. He's not going to stop and say, "Okay, now I'm gonna drive for you," and all the angels driving for everybody. Be no accident, so we don't need insurance. All the angels now flying the airplane. No. These angels are here to protect you in the spirit, but in the natural, you got to drive. In the natural, you have to obey the Spirit of God leading you. Say, don't go to the right. Don't go down there today. And you have to discern. You have to be able to hear the Spirit of God and learn the Spirit of God where the enticement and the temptation say, oh, go on down that road. Ain't nothing down that road. And you remember the last trip we took, the bridge was out. But now here we're going down another road on another day, and you got the GPS on and everything, and all of a sudden you feel that, well, I don't think I should go this way, you know, in the spirit, but the GPS, if your destination 5 miles, turn to the right. You know, if you got a GPS, destination 5 miles, turn to the right. And the Holy Spirit is saying, no, he's trying to warn you within your heart. You know, you feel that, I don't know if I'm going to take this way. But, you know, you let yourself down. You say, okay, well, this machine is right. There's no problem up there. And you get down halfway down the road. Signs begin to flash. And you got the marquee flashing. All roads are blocked except one road. One road is blocked. Here you go in a traffic jam. So, oh, God, I should have listened to my mind. I should have listened. I felt, but no, what was happening? You was being tempted by the world, either the radio, either your GPS, or maybe somebody in the car with you, and what? Your mind, and God still trying to lead you and guide you, and he does that every day of our life. God is with us every day. Jesus said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. Even to the end of the world. All right, we have a caller. You can call in at 1-347-215-8816. Here's another problem that came up when we talk about the imperfect world and how people treat you. This lady was caught in adultery in the book of John, 1st chapter, 11th verse. And the Pharisees brought the woman to Jesus in the 7th verse. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. What had happened, they said, Jesus, you know what the law says, and this lady shall be stoned to death, and Jesus just rolled on the ground. And when Jesus turned around and the lady was there, everybody had a stone in their hand. They was getting ready to execute judgment. You know, are we so quick to judge people? We're so quick to judge. God ain't blessing them. God going to bless me. Oh, why God is doing this? You know, you want to sit in God's seat. You want to make the judgment. So judging. So here, Jesus said that now, if anybody here without sin among you, hello, is anybody here got sin among you? You know, And all of them began to drop their stones, and from the oldest to the youngest, and they drop, boom, 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 boom. Everybody dropping the drop, dropping the rock, dropping the stone. Nobody perfect. Nobody perfect. So why we feel that someone made a mistake sometime unaware? They made a mistake, or they told you the truth, but you got offended. You know, sometimes people can get offended of the truth. We can read the Bible and they get upset at Abel because he read the Bible to Cain. And Cain knew he was wrong. God told him he was wrong. Cain, I'm not going to bless you because of what? You are not really worshiping me. You're not really taking care things like I told you. I told you, but you didn't do it. So everybody dropped their stone, walked away. And Jesus turned around and looked at the lady and said, woman, who is thou accusers? Who accusing you? Who accusing you? And she said, no one, Lord. She didn't find anyone. He said, go ahead and go, but sin no more. Go and don't sin no more. Being active, we are born in sin. But God will forgive us if we confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. If we, God, bring to our remembrance through the Holy Spirit and say, now listen, Cain, you did wrong. And Cain said, oh my God. Cain should have did like that David did. Oh my God. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. And God would turn right around, would make that bridge, fix that bridge up, and cross that bridge on into his blessing. Cross that bridge. No, he didn't want to do that. Unforgiveness is a controlling spirit. It's a controlling spirit. It controls and feeds the enemy, give you things to do, and feed your mind and keep you always concern about this and watching this and following that, and you get comfortable with that unforgiveness. It feeds on you, and it always is your friend. It occupies your time, and I believe sometimes that people, if they don't read the Bible and be active in the church or be active with someone positive, they can't be delivered from it, because many times you cannot be delivered too much from the circle you're in. If you're getting bad advice among your friends and relatives, let's take that back. Whatever circle you're in, and if there are a lot of unforgiving people there, they're going to feed you. They're going to feed you. If you're there in a group of positive people, and they encourage you, say, listen, you got to come out of that. You know, you're hurting yourself. You're hurting your health. It is affecting your health. You're not eating properly. You're not getting enough sleep. Just let it go. Let the person go. You know, it's a control. Jealousy is a controlling spirit, because it's not the fruits of the spirit, of God's spirit. It's a fruit of the flesh. It's a fruit of the flesh. You know, because the devil, he wants to control people. He wants to be in the space with people. He wants to be in the minds of the weak people, the weak-minded, that you're not aware, that you're being controlled. You're like a little puppet being moved around. And when you get there, you just blow up. And that's not God. That's not the spirit of God. That's not the spirit of God. So we have to be careful about jealousy will bring hate. It'll bring unforgiveness. And it goes on even over into fear and a lack of confidence. You begin to feed into those areas, and you find yourself be like Samson. Samson, his mother and his father told him, say, Samson, don't go down to go down to her house. Don't be involved with her, because the Philistine was involved with this lady. But he wouldn't listen. The parents were trying to guide him. The parents were trying to show him that God wasn't pleased with that. But yet and still, you know, the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. And the enemy would talk and sit and talk with you until they find where your strength lies. They can find where your strength lies. If they find out that, oh, unforgiveness is your weak part, that's where the error lies right there, they say, oh, I got him. Delilah said, I got him now. I got him now. And all the time, Delilah was tempting him all the time, tempting him. Samson, do this and do this. And every time she tried, thought she had overthrown Samson's strength and anointing, he would stand up and break off. And being in that tempted position constantly, you don't want to be in a tempted position day in and day out, night, because the enemy wants you to find out your strength. If unforgiveness is your weak part, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Unforgiveness is a spirit of the flesh. It's a spirit of the flesh. Paul told Timothy, God has not given you the spirit of fear. So fear is a spirit. Jealousy is a spirit. Hate is a spirit. And it's not from God. It's not from God. So we want the Holy Spirit to rule and Lord, have control of my life. You know, that's your endeavor. That's your guideline. That's your graduation. Be learned to be led by the Spirit of God. When you learn to be led by the Spirit of God, that love, kindness, peace, you're able to what? Take things and shake it off. You're able to go through some uncomfortable positions in life. You're able to give. Jesus said, more blessed to give than to receive. And that's something we want to be blessed. Oh, I want to be blessed. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But you don't want to give. You do not want to give, because if you do give, Jesus said what? It shall be given. More blessed to give. Hallelujah. Blessing. Oh, blessing, Lord. I want to be blessed, Lord. I want to be blessed. But you don't want to give. And you don't want to forgive. Give, and forgive. God came and he sacrificed his life through his son, Jesus Christ. He showed us the way. And he is the only way, the truth, and the life. And through Jesus Christ, we can go through. We can go through with Christ. It's a day-by-day walk with God. It's a constant day-by-day walk with God. It takes time. If you be sincere and be honest, God will lead you through these times. And that bridge and those out bridges and those situations, you'll find out. You'll stop being jealous, and you stop the enemy controlling your life. Colossians 3:13 say, if any man have a quarrel against any, you know, you get it right, because you understand. Say, oh no, I don't want to be arguing. I don't want to be stressed out. I want to try to follow peace as much as I can. And one of the psalmists say, not only follow peace, but pursue peace. Why do you want to pursue peace? I don't know. But listen, on the other side of that, if you ever get through that problem, oh, it might be a rainbow at the end. It's a rainbow back there waiting on you, a light at the end. God is standing there waiting. Come on in, son. Come on in. So I'm just waiting on you. Come on in, sister. I was just waiting for you to get through this, because once you get through this, you learn how to blessing. You learn how to deal with stress. If you're blessed, you got to learn how to deal with stress. If you're going to be blessed, you got to learn how to deal with downtime and learn how to shake it off. Grow up to that part. Say, well, thank God. I'm going to turn it over to God. They did me wrong, but be like Job. Job said, naked I came in the world and naked I go out. But God gave it to me. And God, I know God got more in the bank. He got more on the hill. He got more in the fish mouth than this little one person trying to take it from me. God, we praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You get excited about it. You can laugh about it. Oh, Lord. Oh, Bishop, look out there and took your little calf down the road. Took your calf down the road. Well, praise the Lord. We'll let him have it. Maybe I can buy another calf. Somebody give me another calf. He took the calf. But the one thing you don't know about the calf ain't got but one good foot on him. After a while, the rest of them going to fall out from under him. Praise the Lord. Oh, everybody be laughing. You be laughing. You can laugh at it, too. Because of what? You forgive. You know how to grow over these things. Learn how to grow over it. You have to. You have to go on. Because one day, you know, to look back, you might be that same person who was stealing and arguing, pointing fingers, throwing a rock, hiding your hand. You was that unforgiving person. You was the one that nobody can get along in the neighborhood. But God delivered you. Praise God. God delivered you from that hatred. God delivered you from the anger. Because the closer you walk with him, you had to overcome. So don't be controlled anymore by unforgiveness. We're in an imperfect world. And I know your angel, he'll tell you, I'm not going to come out in the natural. I'm not going to get in the natural and drive this car for you. You just have to learn how to straighten up and get some rest and drive it like I tell you to drive. I tell you to go to sleep. Them angels not going to come down here and start taking over man's job. No. Because they know what? Those angels trying to look into what heaven is all about. You know, we got a song we can sing. John said he saw a number that no man could number. They were dressed in white, you know, blood. Some of us came through the fire, some of us came through the flood, but all of us came through the blood. This number that no man could number. You know, and they were looking to, they want to see what we got. But thank God, God forgave us. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord gave us repentance. I thank God for repentance. God bless you tonight, and we're praying that if you listen to this broadcast, and we're praying that constantly you be with us at this time. Those of you who like to write in the broadcast and leave a comment, and to you can want to mail into JCI Ministries, Doctrine of Truth, P.O. Box 25888, Tamarack, Florida 33320. You can write in the P.O. Box 25888, Tamarack, Florida 33320, USA. Or you can subscribe on youtube.com/user JCI Ministries. You can observe us there on youtube.com/user JCI Ministries. Or you can, if you like us on Facebook, and join our page, www.facebook.com/JCI Ministries International, Inc. www.facebook.com/JCI Ministry International Ministries, Inc. Or you can go on our website and leave us an email. Go to www.jciministry.org. www.jciministries.org. And Senior Bishop, our email, seniorbishop@jciministries.org. God bless you now. I'd like to close on a prayer. Father, we ask you to look upon those that are listening, God, those that are in pain, those that are healed. You say you come to heal the broken heart. And Lord, you are able to heal the broken heart. And Lord, we know sometimes that time is healing and time is mending. And God, through your word tonight, we ask you to continue.